T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Well, we got the first look at the basketball rivalry. Knicks Nets, we'll get into that as we've learned again. We keep getting reminded that Julius Randle's not a star. And I don't know how many more times you have to see Julius Randle with the ball in his hands down the stretch know that he's not the guy that's going to lead us to the promised land. Plus, the referees allegedly telling Julius Randle why he's not getting calls. We'll get into that. Max Scherzer had a Zoom call earlier today, so he's now officially a New York Met. And the New York Yankees still haven't signed anybody. Who's the Giants' starting quarterback on Sunday? And are the Jets still in the NFL? Good afternoon, Evan. How are you today,
Ken? I'm all right. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm fine, Evan. I'm just fine.
You don't seem fine. What's wrong?
Because I'm sick and tired of it.
Of what?
I'm sick and tired of watching it game after game after game.
What?
We got to trade Julius Randle.
Julius played great last night.
Julius played great last night.
For the most part of last night.
You don't have the jackass on Twitter telling me, Julius Randle did a great job last night.
Well, your tweets were off last night. First,
no,
you
my tweets are not off. My tweets are on the money.
Right. First of all, you're saying Julius was, I don't know, awful.
Yeah, he's great
the only
job.
reason you're in the game. He outplayed KD most of the night.
Yeah.
And number two.
Yeah.
The James Harden non-travel.
I don't want to get into it.
Wasn't a travel.
Yeah,
it was a jump stop.
Yeah, in the NBA, you're allowed to catch the ball, then jump like you're on a playground, not shoot or pass, and that's not a walk.
If you land both feet at the same time,
it's
called
it.
Well, you don't want to argue it because you're going to lose.
No, it's not. It's not why they lost the game. The referee sucked. You want to say they got that one right? I don't care.
They missed a KD double dribble earlier in the game. If that makes you feel
the
better.
The refs sucked. You have double the amount of free throws. The refs allegedly told Julius Randle the reason we're not calling fouls against, you know, when you get fouled is because you're so big and strong you can handle it. If that was said, and I have no reason to believe that Julius Randle is lying to me, if a referee did say that, as Julius Randle has publicly accused the referee of telling him that, then there's no reason to play NBA games. That referee should be fired.
I agree with
whomever that referee is.
I think the biggest
thing. That is not, and I hate using this word because I'm an adult.
What?
Fair. If a guy gets fouled, and I'll give you a great example of this. Mitchell Robinson committed a foul at the end of the game last night.
Yes, he did.
Anybody that watched it doesn't think he hits him across the arm. You're not watching
the game. Well, you know what
the
argument's going to be, Craig? The argument's going to be, he fouled him, but with two seconds to go.
I don't agree with that.
No, I agree with you.
He fouled him.
I want to give you the other side.
Yeah, the other side's stupid. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And I'm a diehard Knicks fan. It's my favorite team of all the teams
it.
I root for.
I respect
and
it.
I'm watching that game. I will tell you, that was a good call.
It was a bad
play.
It was a bad play by Mitch. I mean, that's really the biggest takeaway. Mitch has to put his arms up and not foul him the way he did.
Go straight up. I don't think that, you know, what Johnson or whatever's going to make the play, but go straight up.
Yes.
He slapped him across the arm.
If I'm a Knicks fan,
it's an easy call.
I'm pissed at Mitch for that play, but here's where you're totally right, because let's have a mea culpa on this. If that official actually said those words to Julius Randle, and I think the NBA's got to look into it.
They have to, because it creates an unfair playing
field. Well, it encourages flopping. If that's the reason Julius isn't getting calls, then that's why players flop. Because they have to show they're not that big and strong, and they're flying all over the place. So I don't know if an official said that to Julius, but Julius put the accusation out there.
And I don't want to accuse him of lying. I'm pissed to Julius Randle for two particular things in last night's game. Number one, taking that left corner three with a full shot clock.
There was not a full shot clock.
14 seconds.
Six.
No, it was not six.
It was six.
No, it was not.
I have a picture of it. You want me to show it to you?
Take a picture.
Okay.
Taking that left corner three pisses me off. And number two, getting the technical foul in the moment of the game when she got the technical foul.
Hold on. Can I ask you
what are we doing? Grow the F up.
Why did he get a technical foul?
I don't know why.
Well, isn't that a fair thing to ask? See, I'm going to defend the Knicks for a second. Why, with a minute and a half to go, on a play in which I thought the Knicks got lucky, I thought Julius fouled Kevin Durant, not bitching about it, just giving an opinion. Why, when Kevin Durant was probably arguing, hey, I texted you the picture so you can confirm it, why on a play like that would Julius get a T? What could he possibly have said when he got a break by there not being a whistle that would cause the official with a minute and a half to go, I got to be fair with you, that pisses me off. You don't call T's. I hate technicals to begin with. I certainly hate them when they can decide a game late.
And because it helped decide the game.
Yes, clearly. And so I wouldn't, again, you're a Knick fan, you can be angry at whoever you want, so I apologize for telling you who to be pissed at. I'd be more pissed at the official for calling the tee than what Julius could potentially have said with a minute and a half to go to warrant that. What could he possibly have said, Craig, that warranted a tee on a play in which he committed the foul and it wasn't called?
I don't know. And I don't like this crap about your moral victories. No, we lost the game. We're a 500 basketball team. Listen, can they compete? Oh, great. We competed with a better team, best team in the East. Oh, goody, 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 goody. No, it's a game we had a chance to win and we lost. And that's all I care about. We lost the game. We had a chance to win. Now, the side story of this game last night, because it was entertaining as all hell, and it was a couple hours of just fun. It was good to have a competitive game.
It was not fun.
Yeah, well, you won the game. Don't give me that crap.
No, it was a moral loss.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They didn't win by 40, therefore it wasn't fun.
I walked out of Barclays Center, and there was a Knick fan who I met, loved the show, and he'll tell you if he calls in. I said to the kid, I feel dirty. I feel so disgusting after
this. Because the refs gave you a W?
It had nothing to do with the refs. It's the way my team played. Because my team is the worst 15-6 team ever.
Oh, you have to stop with that.
I'm sorry.
You're not going to win that.
Moral victory? Moral loss.
No, stop. Please stop. Don't do that.
That's how I felt.
You can't be that guy.
I walked out of that building like, I'm glad we won. I'm glad we got the W.
Yeah.
Keith did a great job. He made me feel good after the show. After the game, Keith McPherson, he was more rah-rah than me. We're very different, and I respect it. But I felt like, boy, this team's got a lot of flaws.
Yeah,
boy,
it does.
Yeah,
it does.
Okay.
But you won the game.
Great.
Like, if I won by a point, I'm coming in here dancing.
Craig, no offense.
Knowing that I got flaws.
Craig, did I dance today?
No, you actually put out a tweet, let's shut our mouths, just move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've been consistent on that.
You respect that?
Yes.
Thank you.
Because I didn't want to argue with you all day today and fight with you because I'm pissed off.
Because
I'm pissed about Julius Randle. And I'm going to take it out on you and I don't want to.
Julius played well last night.
I hate that rhetoric.
The corner three was with five on the clock.
Six,
did you get my text?
Yeah, six, yeah.
All right, and it was an open look.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
You're complaining about that. He took it to the basket.
Yeah.
Like, what is your overall? Last night, I'm not talking about his season.
Yeah.
That's different. And if your point is he's not a number one guy on a title team.
He's not.
I agree with you. I'm talking about last night. The reason you were in that basketball game, he defended Durant at a high level.
Not in the fourth quarter. Didn't Durant
Dude,
11
Kevin
fourth
Durant
quarter points.
Finally
what are we doing?
Made shots late in this game.
Yeah, okay, when the game's on the line, Kevin Durant was the best
because
player on
Kevin
the court.
Kevin Durant's a great player.
Agreed.
Do you think Julius Randle's defense was lackluster last night?
I don't think Julius Randle is a star player that's going to lead me to
it's
a
not
title.
What I'm saying. You're changing the discussion.
No, I'm telling you, that's why I'm pissing. Because last night, to me, missing the three, getting the technical foul. Again, the only saving grace for me is if he's not lying, and I'm not accusing him of lying, so I'm going to take what he said as the gospel because he said it. If he's not getting calls because refs think that he's too big and strong to worry about it, maybe my opinion changes. I don't know. But I have a real problem with
it. Well, when did you think Julius Randle was good enough to lead you to a championship?
I never did.
So then why are you pissed about it today?
Because everyone else thinks he is.
No
everyone else,
one
everyone
thinks
else guffaws over Julius
Who
Randle.
Thinks that, Craig?
A lot of Knicks fans.
They can't possibly think that.
Shockingly, Evan, they do. There's a lot of Knicks fans that think he's going to be the leader to the promised land. So you and I are in lockstep with
we
that.
We are. I just giving him credit for a hell of a game last night. That's all I'm doing.
Julius Randle's a very good player. He's not a rock star. And last night, again, proved it because here you saw a rock star last night. You saw Kevin Durant over the last 5 minutes or so of the game take over. 11 points in the fourth quarter. The entire offense, rightfully so, essentially ran through him. Harden had the great first half, obviously, coming back off the terrible performance, at least scoring-wise and turnover-wise against Phoenix. and you saw a rock star last night. I don't have that
you
on my team.
You can't compare Julius to Kevin Durant.
No,
it's the most unfair thing you can do.
I agree 100%.
But you're doing it.
That's what I want.
Well, you don't have him. I mean, I don't want to be a jerk about
no,
it.
No,
Kevin
you.
Durant's not on the team.
I agree.
Okay.
So, again, we're in agreement.
We are.
Meanwhile.
You know what bothered me a little bit?
Go ahead.
I found it surprising, because I did read your tweets last night. Forget the travel stuff, because it's not worth arguing. I was surprised that your takeaway from last night was to rip Julius. And that's what just surprised me.
Yeah.
Like, overall, yes, we agree. He's not a rock star. He's not a lead guy. He's not Kevin Durant. Okay. But last night, he was your best player.
He didn't do what he had to do to win the game. Sorry. He didn't. And part of it's the missed three in the corner, wide open.
Missed fadeaway.
And part
that
of it,
rimmed out.
And part of it is the tech. Because you got, and again, I don't know what he said, Evan, so
yeah.
You know, you told me if he comes out and goes, look, I didn't even say anything. I don't know what was said, but he didn't argue getting the tech, and he threw a bleep fit at every referee for the last couple minutes of the game and after the game.
Yep.
So I'm going to assume that he did something stupid
and
got the tech. I don't know what it was. None of us do.
All right.
That to me is a problem. You know, we fought back after the terrible start to the second half, went on a run, great fourth quarter back and forth, and then he pulls a boneheaded play that cost us a W. Sorry, not sorry.
All right.
Sorry, not sorry.
Right.
So we got that for you today. Listen, I know the games last night, so we're kind of moving on from it a little bit, but I thought it was important for the only real Knick fan in this radio station to comment on it. Because I hear this morning, well, we competed. It was a more shut up. Moral victories are for children in grade school.
I agree with
They're not for professionals.
My view on the moral loss makes a hell of a lot more sense than the moral victory.
No. That makes even less sense.
No, in all seriousness, I'm glad they won, and here's where we'll agree on this. I just see a team with problems, and I see a team that right now can't win an NBA championship unless a certain person gets a certain needle in his certain arm.
Now, I'll tell you something else. That doesn't make any sense. I'm trying to figure this out. I watched the Giant Eagle game like you did.
Yes.
It was not great, obviously. The Giants only scored 13 points, but 13 was enough to win. So all good. The New York Giants have a pulse still when it comes to an NFC wildcard opportunity. Yesterday, the Giants came out and announced that Danny Jones had some type of neck injury that occurred during the game against the Eagles.
Yes.
I watched the entire game.
Yes.
At no point was there any play that I said, wow, he's hurt. They never referenced it on the broadcast. And at no point did I see, maybe I missed it, I don't think I did, Danny Jones inside the blue tent.
No.
Right.
No.
So I'm trying to figure out in my head, well, when did he get hurt? And we left the air yesterday, and the story was the New York Giants have signed, what's his name,
Fromm.
Off the Bills practice squad.
Yep.
He's the backup.
Mike Glennon.
And it looks
start.
Like Mike Glennon's going to be your starting quarterback.
Well, not quite yet, because Jones practiced.
Oh, no, this
today.
Was yesterday.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
yes.
In a must-win game against the Miami Dolphins.
Right.
I come into work today, Danny Jones practiced. Something's not right with that. I can't figure it out.
Well, I went back.
And I'm happy he practiced because you have to win on Sunday.
Yes. Oh, no doubt. Last night, I couldn't sleep for a myriad of reasons, and you may notice that throughout the show today. Not that I'm going to pass out, but I may be agitable. I have no idea. Is that even a word? So I went back and watched the Giant
game. Agita.
No, not agita. Agitable? Irritable.
Irritable.
Irritable bowel syndrome. IBS.
Yes, very much so. So I went back and watched the Giant game. I'm not even kidding you. You think I am. The second play of the game, they ran an option for Daniel Jones.
Right.
If you watch the replay of it, three Eagles converged on him. He tries to slide, and his neck bends awkwardly. Now, I think that's where he got hurt. But to your point, Craig, there's no sign of it.
Right.
Like, they still ran option plays. Remember the keeper on fourth and one on the second drive? You never saw Daniel in the medical tent. You never really saw signs that he was hurt. But that was the one play where you looked at the tackle, and it was quick, because it's not mentioned on the broadcast, where you say, that was awkward. Like,
right.
The way he went down, the hit he took, like, okay,
but you don't
I can
see him
see
being
it.
Massaged. You don't see him doing, like, the neck exercise. There's no word from the sideline report, oh, he got a shot of Toradol or anything like that. He wasn't on the injury report after the game, immediately after
Joe
the game.
Joe Judge didn't know, dude. Joe Judge admitted, I didn't find out about the injury till Monday. So on Sunday, when they're playing this game,
right?
I don't know if anyone knew outside of Daniel Jones.
But like you said, he ran the ball after that. He threw the ball after that.
I don't think he told anyone.
And had no problem.
Craig, I don't think he told anyone.
And what do you think? He woke up yesterday stiff?
My guess, and there's no definite answer to this, is that he probably felt it during the game. Didn't say anything because he doesn't want to come out of the game.
Right.
He even said today it's my obligation to play. So you're talking about a guy who's got the mindset of,
love that.
I got to play. No, it's fantastic.
Yep.
I got to play. So my guess is he didn't say anything. And so, yeah, on Monday, you're going to be honest, maybe a little bit more honest with your coaching staff. Hey, my neck's a little bit sore. And that's what's created this, whoa, he's got a sore neck. Is it serious? Is his year done? Is he going to play on Sunday? But to your point, there wasn't anything noticeable that affected him during the game, just that awkward hit on the second play of the game.
He did say, I'm feeling good. I'm getting better every day. I'm going through the week preparing to play. And isn't it funny? Now that you're kind of back alive and have a little pulse for the wild card, how Giant fans, not all of you, but a lot of you have gone from, he's not a franchise quarterback, he's this, he's that, he sucks, we need a guy, go get me Russell Wilson to, oh my God, I hope Daniel Jones is healthy to play, I don't want to see Mike Glennon.
Yeah, because he's better than Mike Glennon.
Isn't it interesting? The sands of the hourglass, so go the days of our lives, Evan. All of a sudden, Giant fans desperate for a healthy Daniel
Jones.
Have
you seen Mike Glennon?
Yes.
That's what that's about.
Yeah.
I don't think it's Giant fans having an epiphany that Daniel
Epiphany. Dude, epiphany.
I told you I didn't get sleep last night,
bro. Epiphany.
An hour and a half.
Yeah.
I rewatched the Nick Net game. I rewatched the Giant game. I watched YouTube videos of God knows what. I may mess up some words today, bro.
Epiphany.
Epiphany.
Well, how do you think this is for your wife, breastfeeding and taking care of children? You think she feels bad for you?
No.
I only got 2 hours of sleep because I went to the Net Nick game.
I know.
I rewatched the Net Nick game.
I know.
I rewatched the Giant Eagle game. I got caught in a YouTube hole, and I watched a couple old SmackDowns.
And the worst part is, I drop my kid off at the bus, and afterwards, I come back to the house. I say to my wife, I'm going to go take a nap. And she's like, okay. I come back down after 30 minutes, and she looks at me and says, you know something? I'm a good wife. Let you go to Nick's Nets.
Yeah.
Can you get through this? Oh, you're tired. And she was so right. She was right.
Well, don't you do commercials for 5 Hour Energy? Start chugging them, buddy.
Chugging them.
877-33.
I love you, honey. You're the best wife ever.
Wow.
No, she is.
Here we go.
I love her.
Well, someone was in the doghouse. 877-337-6666. We'll get all your calls. You're a diehard Giant fan, desperate for Daniel Jones to play this Sunday. You're a Nick or Net fan from last night. Billy Epler's going to swing by and say, hello, a little bit later on in today's program.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's Carton and Roberts on the Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Breaking news, I can no longer make Freddie Galvis jokes about you guys signing him, New York Yankees. Freddie Galvis is signing with the Fukuoka SoftBank Hawks.
No, come on.
Oh, wait.
It can't be the Fukuoka SoftBank Hawks.
It's a fake Twitter account. I fell for it. My bad.
Oh, come on, man. How did you not know that that was fake?
I don't know.
Fukuoka Bangkoks?
You know what my excuse is, Greg?
And the word soft is in there? And you didn't recognize that that was a joke?
I picked up on it quickly, though.
The Fukuoka Soft Bangkoks? You just assumed was a Chinese or Japanese name?
So you know my excuse is?
No.
I didn't sleep last night.
Hey, Evan, breaking news. Yeah. The Soft Cocks signed for Fukuoka? Is that right? And what league are they in Japan, Evan? Huh? How could you fall for that?
I was losing my mind. I'm so sorry.
He was right about no more Freddie Galvis jokes, though. He nailed that.
Oh, I'm done. You're no done more with Freddie Galvis jokes.
Yeah, you have to wipe his names out of your
head. I forgot he exists now. Sorry.
Wow. All right. But you just read it on the air like you had news. And you read it like you knew who the soft cocks were. Yeah. What's the full name of that team now, Ev?
I lost it.
The Fukuoka Soft Cocks?
The Fukuoka Soft Bank or something.
Yeah, you got to get some rest, buddy.
Oh, that's funny.
It's Carton and Roberts on the Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
The new general manager of the New York Mets is Billy Epler. And first time we'll have a chance to talk to him. Billy, it's Craig Carton and Evan Roberts. We happen to have Robert Wohl in studio today as well. How you doing, Billy?
Doing well. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, are you in New York yet, or are you still out in California?
I'm still in California and likely heading to New York early next week.
Yeah, we got to get you out here in New York. You can't pull this Phil Jackson crap. Like, well, you got to be in New York to be a New York GM. I just want to make sure you understand that now, okay?
Really? Yeah. Is that in the fine print?
Yes, he didn't tell you that. That's clause 1A. It's called the Phil Jackson clause. It don't work for New Yorkers.
Of course I'm coming to New York. I love that place. I spent 11 years there.
I know. I just want to make sure that you didn't become one of these like liberal bougie guys out in California and got soft and put pineapple on your pizza. That's all.
No pineapple on the pizza. Okay?
Good. So we're off to a good start.
Timing-wise, Max Scherzer would have been my number one target, would have been every Met fan's number one target. But I'm curious. With the Steven Matz stuff, with the Syndergaard qualifying offer, with a major offer to Kevin Gausman, what if things had gone differently? Would Max Scherzer be a New York Met?
Yeah, we were going to pursue this guy regardless of that. You know? Yeah, this guy was, you know, this was a pretty easy conversation from, you know, the moment that, you know, I signed on and sat with Sandy and Steve that, you know, we want to make an impact. It starts here. And, you know, we talked to a number of guys, and some we signed and some we didn't, but we never lost sight of Max.
So I guess what I'm curious about is there was a report, maybe it wasn't true, that you guys made a big offer to Kevin Gausman. He actually took less to go to Toronto. If he says yes, was it possible financially you would have paid both Max Scherzer and Kevin Gausman?
Not going to walk down the road of hypotheticals, but we were talking to a number of guys at the same time and always stayed in touch with Max.
Gotcha.
And we never played an either or game. We never lost, like I said, we never lost sight of Max.
Talking to Billy Epler, GM for the Mets. So if there's the possibility that you still would have gotten Scherzer, even if you had gotten, whether it's, you know, Syndergaard or Matz or Gausman, does that mean if I'm a Met fan, I should have some level of expectation that you're not done yet, that you could still add payroll?
We can be opportunistic. You know, we still have some room here to do that. You know, we're going to introduce a few more guys later on today. You know, and You know, that kind of shows that Steve and Alex's commitment to, putting a great team on the field and giving us the resources, which I'm so thankful for, be able to do this. So, yeah, we'll still remain opportunistic. And if something comes around and I can present a case to Steve and Alex and say, this is something that we're recommending as a baseball operation, they're all ears.
So if it's going to be announced today, and obviously it's got to be before midnight, is Chris Bryant one of those announcements?
I can't talk about free agents. Come on, man.
You're not allowed to talk about
it? No. I know the rules, Billy. You can. You've talked to Scott Boras.
Didn't you tell me I had to move to New York, right? So, like, we read the rules, right?
The rules are he's a free agent. You could talk about him. This is different than a guy under contract. Well, are you interested?
No, I can't talk. I can't, man.
Would you?
Got to read the memos.
I don't fully buy that, but that's fine. Is it true you guys made an offer to Javier Baez that, exceeded $100 million?
Wouldn't say. Sorry. Not going to say.
Do you think this lineup, and by the way, I want to apologize. Actually, not really. As a Met fan, I love what you've done so far, but we're like fat kids who want more. So that's why we keep bringing up other guys. But do you think this team needs another star caliber player bat in the middle of this lineup?
I mean, look. You can always look to improve a roster. Okay, this position player group is a pretty strong group, top to bottom. When you go through this lineup and you look at some of the circumstances too of like playing in Citi Field, there's contact, there's on base, there's power, there's a lot of different elements, and frankly, in the outfield now, there's like above average defense everywhere.
Yes.
And so this is a club that's built, in a way where it can cover this 162 game season that we got to endure. Right. There could be times where somebody goes down, and if, we're plugging with some of these guys that are forecasted to maybe be on the bench, like I feel pretty good about that.
Right.
And I've seen firsthand, whether it's Dodgers or Giants, like kind of leveraging your lineup day in and day out, because you do want to manage this 183 days. And there's value in that, and kind of playing some matchups where maybe one day a left-hander sits and we stack at right-handers, and really kind of using that functionality of the roster and top to bottom, I feel pretty good about the 13 guys out there.
Billy Epler joins us, general manager of the Mets. Billy, Robert Wohl's here, and he had a quick question for you. He's a huge baseball fan as well. Go ahead, Bobby.
Hey, Billy, congratulations, first of all. Welcome to New York.
Thanks, Robert.
You talked about managing. Well, let's talk about that. Do you plan on interviewing Buck Showalter? Because I think this is the missing piece of the whole thing. I don't know anybody.
Why did you ask a question?
I don't know anybody who is more knowledgeable, who can blend the stuff in now. But I don't.
He's not going to tell you.
But no, I mean, will you interview him?
He's bringing Brad Ausmus here. Come on, unfinished business and that.
Let me tell you this. In fairness to those particular candidates, any candidate, like, I'm not going there.
Let me ask you this though.
People don't want to hear their names out there batted around.
Well, Buck does.
So I'm not
Buck definitely
Buck, does. I think Buck does TV. He's dying to get back on a bench. And I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it, but let me ask you this. In your conversations with Max, did the manager position come up where he had thoughts on who he'd like you to consider, or is that not a place where you would go as a general manager in giving one of your stars a say, or at least a voice in the room as to who the manager might be?
We did not talk specifics as far as names. We talked characteristics, that's as far as I went with him. And so I have a sense. He's got a sense of how we're going to kind of view the criteria for the role, mm-hmm. and obviously, clearly felt comfortable enough as we walked through that.
Well, with Met fans, because they want to know, characteristic-wise, is it important to have someone who's managed before?
I don't think it's a prerequisite, but it will be a factor considered.
When will you start interviewing candidates?
Hard to say, but I'll probably start calling on permissions as early as tomorrow.
When can we expect?
If they're with other clubs.
Right. And a lot of the guys, by the way, mentioned aren't even with other clubs. I don't think you have to call the Yes Network to talk to Buck Showalter. But when do you expect us as Met fans to know who the next manager is going to be?
Not putting a shot clock on it. I don't know. When we're ready, we're ready.
So I mean, I would think that's also, you know, that's an easy yes. Whoever you offer the job to, like, I was surprised that a number of people, you know, actually said no to the Mets wanting to interview them. I respect, you know, there's some people that weren't allowed to talk to the Mets, but I imagine, you know, walk us through when the phone rings and it's, you know, Sandy Alderson and then ultimately Steve Cohen. You're going to say yes to whatever they offer you, but when that call gets made, just walk us through that. Did you know they were calling you? Do they go through your agent? Like, what's that process like when the Mets first came calling?
Yeah, I mean, the first conversation was just, you know, really informal. And it was just meeting Steve for lunch out in Southern California. I met him.
Now, when you have a lunch like that, do you order what you really want, or do you order something that's like, I'm just going to pick at it because I want to talk more? Like, do you go full-on burger, which could get messy, or do you go fruit salad? Like, what's the order in that spot?
Yeah, no, I went double burger, onion rings,
nice.
With yeah. bacon.
I respect that.
And yeah, absolutely. And I want a side of ribs, too.
Well, I said, listen, I told you when Chris Christie was governor, he got invited to the White House for dinner. And I said, Governor Christie, what did you order for dinner? How's that work? And he said, well, Donald Trump told me I was getting the meatloaf. So I'm wondering, when you have lunch with Steve Cohen, who's never met you before, do you order on your own? Does Steve say, I love Spago, I'll order for you? How does
all
that work?
That whole burden was taken off my shoulders because it was at his house. So there was already food laid out.
Oh, so there weren't even like that many options.
Yeah.
Oh. It was all settled. Interesting.
Oh, okay. That was done. All I had to do was determine what I wanted on my plate. I did go a little light so that we could so we could talk a little bit.
Well, so here's what I wonder. When that opportunity comes your way, and you obviously know his financial capabilities, which is what every Met fan's thrilled about, which we've just witnessed here with the guys that you've signed, not just Scherzer, but, you know, the three other guys you've signed, Marte, obviously the big piece in center field for you guys. What question do you have for him that, you know, is like a gnawing in the side of your brain? Like, you've heard rumors about him, you know, people have turned down the gig. What did you want to know from him before you obviously said yes?
You know what I talked a lot about was, I guess the latitude for the general manager position to help institute a culture throughout the baseball operation from top to bottom. And if that is something that he supports and believes in. And that is important to me to really have a way that we do things. And when I talk about the culture, right, I'm talking about like how we handle ourselves when we pull up to the stadium or pull up to the spring training complex or go to our academy in the Dominican. How do we do what we do? How do we do our jobs? And what kind of operational standards do we have as an operation? And sometimes that requires a lot of discipline. So the discipline to like not just do things the easier way and really like instill that top to bottom. And I know that aligns with Sandy's thinking. And I just wanted to really make sure that there was, you know, that level of interest from that standpoint, and ultimately also giving the resources in other areas that are not just running out, you know, night in and night out in Citi Field, but building infrastructure, supporting people, growing people's careers. Like, those things are very important to me. And so will we have, you know, the institution kind of set up to do those things? And he told me yes then. And even as I was flying back to California, this was after our second meeting on the East Coast, and which was actually a real meeting. It was like a real interview. Because the first one was just kind of get to know you.
Right.
That one, he called me as I was, you know, getting ready to take off. And he goes, you'll have every resource you need. If you make a reason for why we need it and how it makes us better, you'll have it. And that's one of the things I'd love, you know, like, hey, tell me how this makes the organization better. Tell me how this wins us a baseball game.
Right.
You can answer either one of those. He's going to do it.
Is that how the budget's going to work, too, where maybe it isn't a set number, but if you can sell him on, hey, look, this is why we need Chris Bryant, or this is why we need to bring back Marcus Stroman, that's how kind of payroll is going to work with you having to make the case to him on why it makes the team better?
Yeah, that's how I'm approaching it, and that's how it's been working so far, you know, is this, here's an opportunity, and this is what it'll do. In the short term, these are any long-term ramifications of that because, you know, again, like when I took this job and what I really told him on is I really want to center our framework for all our decisions around maximizing cumulative expected World Series odds, right, over this long-term time horizon.
Right.
So you'd love to be able to sit here, like if we sit here today, I mean, I don't know, like I do like to look at the Vegas odds because, you know, Vegas has a lot to lose, right? If they're wrong in their odds, there's money at stake, right? So I like to look at those odds, and I'd like to forecast a 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year period where we can be at the upper end of those odds. And if we can do that over a 6 or 7 year period, odds are, that's not a guarantee,
right?
But odds are we might end up
eventually a win.
Oh, you went from 20-1 to 11-1 just by
on the Scherzer thing. Have you guys made an offer to Marcus Stroman? Are you interested in bringing him back?
I wouldn't say he's a free agent. Come on,
yeah, but he was on your roster. Are you interested in bringing Marcus Stroman back?
I wouldn't. I'm not talking about free agents. I'm telling you,
but he was like, your own
no
guy.
Joke. No joke. No, he's not. He's a free agent.
Yeah, but he was on this roster. I mean, you guys know him well.
I understand. I understand. Sorry. Well, hey. I'm a rule follower.
Let me ask you this. This is interesting because Sandy Olsen is not a fan of Marcus Stroman's. You might be. So let me use this as an example, okay? If it came down to you like the guy, Sandy doesn't like a guy, who gets to make the and Steve Cohen says, you guys figure it out. I'm good either way. Who gets
you
to make
love these hypotheticals. This is fun.
Yeah. Who gets,
hasn't happened. I don't know.
Who gets to make the ultimate decision, you or Sandy?
Hasn't happened. I don't know. Yeah.
But, all right, so let me ask you this.
I report to Sandy.
Ultimately, Sandy gets to make the call then.
Now, are you bothered at all, concerned at all about the social media crap that has gone on with Marcus Stroman here recently?
I've been so tied into agents and trade market. I haven't dove into social media.
Now I'll ask you about guys on the team because I think you could talk about them. Jeff McNeil, JD Davis, Dom Smith, three guys who have grown up around here for the last few years. Do you expect all three of those guys to be on the roster, or will there be some trade discussions once the lockout is lifted?
I'm expecting those guys to be with us. So, you know, if there's clubs that come knocking, we listen, we engage on things. But I'm expecting those.
Do
guys
you expect Jeff McNeil to be the everyday second baseman on opening day?
If we started today, he's our second baseman.
And what's Dom Smith's role on this team?
Plays outfield, gives Pete Alonso a breather at first. If there's a DH. You know, who knows?
Well, the DH thing, that's the issue. I assume there's going to be a DH. Do you assume that? Like, are you building this team with an eye on, look, I'm not, I know what's going on. There's likely going to be a DH in the NL.
I'm just building the club for the strongest 13 possible.
But wouldn't that be a big
factor?
Like I said,
I go to that model that I've seen other teams use. You know, I've been, you know, at least fortunate to not have to think about all of those elements as much in the American League as I do in the National League. But I'm just trying to build the best 13 possible.
Whoever's
managing the club, whoever the bench coach, like they're going to talk through those things. We'll, you know, all sit down and kind of look at the next week to play and then make those calls.
What are your thoughts on Robinson Cano? Do you see him being among those 13 or no?
Yeah, I do. I've actually been texting with Robbie a good amount. I mean, we have a ton of. I knew Robbie when he was just a young up and comer in the minor leagues.
Have you talked to him about? Because I'm sure he's going to have to address it with his teammates.
He's going to be the Mets DH.
No, I'm not talking about that. No. Have you discussed the steroid stuff? I mean, he got busted for a second time. He gets busted one more time. His career is over. I'm sure he has to address it with his teammates, with the media at some point. Have you had a discussion with Robbie about what happened?
We just connected quickly on the phone, and no, we did not talk about that. It was like probably a minute and a half conversation when we talked on the phone, and then we just texted a lot.
Is that something that needs to be addressed at some point, or are you willing to just move on from it?
I'm going to talk to Robbie about that first.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah. Talking to Billy Epler another minute or two, and we appreciate your time today. Coming up towards 5 o'clock, Carton Roberts on the Fan. Has anything happened yet in the short amount of time that you've had, you know, the job that took you by surprise, that, you know, something you didn't think came along with the job that caught you off guard or anything of that? Or have you been around long enough where you get it all?
You know, nothing so far, but again, I've been on this thing for, you know what, since November 19th. So nothing so far.
And how much of a wrinkle or none at all does this lockout, which starts in about 7 hours, play a role in your preparation for guys you want to sign, guys you might be looking at, and just getting ready for your first season as GM? Is it a huge pain in the ass for you, or in a weird way, does it give you a chance to take a breath?
You know, it's funny because I'm like really kind of going business as usual, but you know, the conversations clearly sped up over the last, I'd say, week or a little bit over a week. I started to just notice a lot more dialogue going on. But right now I'm business as usual. If I get information from the league office that says, you know, hey, we're going to cease this, if that comes down tonight or tomorrow or whenever, then I'll be able to pivot to kind of some more, you know, institutional things, which clearly have to happen too.
Right. For years on this radio station, we would get hypothetical trades between the Mets and the Yankees, and we'd always say, that's not going to happen. Because of your connection with Brian Cashman and connection to the Yankees, does it actually oddly open up the possibilities that these two teams in this town could do business together the way the Cubs and White Sox seem to do routinely?
You know, I it's interesting that you bring that up, because when I was over in Anaheim, we didn't make a trade. And I think it's because there's, you know, I mean, I was trained there, a lot of it, you know. I mean, I 5 years with the Rockies and then 11 with the Yankees. And like, that's really, you know, if you have your like professional teenage years and your growth years, like that, they happen there. And so a lot of my fundamentals, you know, are embedded with, you know, how they value or evaluate players. So when you usually evaluate things relatively similarly, it can be hard to match up. So, you know, but that's not going to stop the frequency at which we talk, because we talk a ton.
Well, listen, we appreciate you coming on. It would be good to have you in New York, so let's make that happen. Just from experience, I can tell you that, you know, the fan base does not like cross-country GMs. And I look forward to meeting you in person, and good luck. And if nothing else, Met fans certainly like what you did in your first 2 weeks as general manager, getting Max Scherzer and, of course, you know, your starting center fielder for sure. So congrats on that, and we look forward to meeting you and building a relationship with you and the franchise. So we appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Likewise, guys. Have a good one.
All right, be good. Billy Epler, GM of the Mets. You liked or didn't like, Evan?
Well, I mean, the idea, can't talk about free agents. Like, when did that change?
Well, that's his policy, I guess.
No, that's not true, though. Sandy Alderson talked openly about free agents last year. That's not a rule. The rule is you can't talk about players on another team. And
no, I'm
respect
it's his
that.
Policy.
Oh, it's an individual
that's
policy?
That's a Billy Epler policy.
I mean, come on.
He's laying down the law.
Like, are you interested in bringing back a guy who was on your team last year and Marcus Stroman?
Apparently not.
So, no, I think Billy's fine. I think he was mostly good. That kind of annoys me, because that doesn't make any sense. GM's always... Brian Cashman talked about Carlos Correa the other day.
Yeah.
Did he not?
He did.
Okay, so that's, I'm just, I
He's
want
also
you,
about to be a Yankee, so it's all good.
It's fine. I want you to know, and anyone listening, that idea that he can't talk about free agents is BS. I just want you to know
rule.
That. Okay, so it's an individual. It's not
yes,
a league rule.
No,
it's not a policy.
I agree.
Okay.
He's just saying, I'm not going to do it.
All right.
We don't have to agree with it. Bobby, good seeing you, pal.
Good seeing you, Mike.
Yeah, you had one question. It wasn't great. I mean, it's all
right. Right. Why? He asked specifically about a manager.
Which is the right manager for that team.
Because you know Buck is probably a buddy of yours.
Wait a minute. I do know him a little bit, but you talk to anybody at the MLB, anybody in baseball.
They all love him.
No. Here's the guy. And I got to ask you a specific question about a guy. Because this is going to be very personal for the older Met fans. Like, if Beningo was listening, he'd freak out. And you didn't mention his name. It's not Brad Ausmus. Someone else he has unfinished business with. Mike Socha. Any interest in Mike Socha?
I think Buck would be a much better.
Well, I'm asking you about Mike Socha.
Yeah, I know Mike too. Good guy.
Mike Socha did that Buck Showalter didn't do? Won a World Series as a manager.
Yeah, and he had probably had better teams too.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
I mean, that Angel team wasn't all that good. I bring his name up because I think he's a guy that they may interview, and there's going to be older Met fans that will be sick to their stomach at the idea of Mike bleeping Socha managing the New York Mets for obvious reasons. 88,
Craig. Doc. Buck also knows New York. You talk about somebody coming into New York. Buck knows New York.
No, Buck's fine.
You don't have time there. I'm sorry. I have a great Buck, Brad Ausmus.
How long a story is it?
Do you remember when the Astros are playing the Cardinals?
Remembers?
Do you remember the Cardinals and NLCS? Pujols? Yes, Pujols hits the home run for Brad Lidge.
Oh,
right.
Come on, do I remember?
Okay.
Game five. It was epic.
It was actually game four because now they're going for game five.
Ah.
They have to fly back to St. Louis.
It was game five. Trust me.
I don't care what
game
it was.
No, they have to fly back to St.
Yeah,
Louis.
Yeah, for game six and seven. It's okay, though.
Okay, wait. So they're flying back on the plane. They're flying back on the plane, and they're crushed.
Right.
There's not a second thing on the plane.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So Ausmus goes up to the pilot. And okay. They're all sitting on the plane, and the pilot gets on the PA and says, if you look out the window to the right, you'll see Pujols' ball flying next to the... And he said the entire plane broke up, and it broke all the ice.
And guess what they did?
They won.
They won game six in St. Louis. You're right. No,
that's a good story.
That's a great story. That's a great story. Don't let Craig tell you otherwise.
It's good seeing you, pal.
You too, bro.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Matt's in your show. Matt, what's going on, buddy?
What's up there, partner?
How are you there, Cookie?
Good. I got two questions for you. Number one, where the heck is Junk Bomb?
Junk Bomb is actually sitting in a warehouse somewhere in upstate New York, and I've no access to it.
Really?
Well, because they wanted to ship it all to me, but I have no place to put it. And I'm sure that it's expired by this point. But there's like, no joke, there's probably 100,000 bottles of Junk Bomb sitting in a warehouse somewhere in upstate New York.
Oh, you're killing me. I'll take a case, even if it's expired.
Yeah, and listen, it's great. I just, I don't have it.
When are you guys coming back to New Rochelle, man?
We're going to play softball in New Rochelle next year.
Are you really?
Yes. We try to get a game this year, but still because of the COVID stuff, we couldn't pull it off. But I've been in touch with the mayor and the head of Parks and Rec, and assuming we're all good COVID-wise, we are going to bring the FAN All-Stars to New Rochelle as we used to do back in the day.
Nice. Well, bring some Junk Bomb with you.
I can't do. I just told you three times. I don't have.
He really wants that Junk Bomb.
By the way, Junk Bomb's one of the greatest products I've ever been involved with. I have like two bottles at home, and I live by it.
I think you should give one to him. He really wanted one.
No, he's not getting one.
No?
No.
We'll do a special giveaway?
If you want to drive up to the warehouse, they'll give it to you for free.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was going to have it shipped here, but then I figured the station would get pissed at me. Like, what are we doing with 1,000 cases?
Where's the warehouse again?
I don't know the exact city.
No, what state?
I think it's upstate New York.
Oh, it's upstate New York.
Yeah, okay. But that's a pretty big state.
No, I am aware.
That could be a lot of places.
It could be 9 hours. It could be Buffalo.
That could be a lot of different places.
I get you.
I'm not sure where it is.
I'm in the mood to go to the Baseball Hall of Fame. You want to do a trip?
No.
No?
Okay. No interest. No.
You want to bring your family?
No.
Anthony,
no.
You want to go?
Yeah, I'll come. Let's
cool.
go.
Let's
right
roll.
Now.
All right.
All right, let's go. Bye.
Look at he's that. Right. He's leaving. Not now.
There you go. Go ahead.
Get out of here.
You got money in your pocket?
No, Uncle Ed will pay for everything.
There you
now,
go.
You know what I have, Anthony? And it's in my wallet. I have a lifetime pass for me and a guest.
I'm sure you
anytime
do.
I want to go to the Baseball Hall
really?
Of Fame.
Really?
There's no surprise at all.
I
got to
find this
that.
Now. I got to
prove
this. Who
gave you that?
He bought it.
I wrote an article. I wrote an essay in high school.
Oh,
and it was sent in, and it got published in a book about my love for baseball.
Yeah.
And it was specifically
about Mike Piazza flying out to end the 2000 World Series. And because it got published, here it is. I have a National Baseball Hall of Fame lifetime pass.
Very nice. Let me guess. Nobody read this book.
Wow. My bad.
I see where you get your sense of humor.
Yeah there you go. Huh. All right. Nobody read the book.
Wow.
That he does. Evan just showed out of his wallet a lifetime pass to the National Baseball League Hall of Fame.
Me and you.
We're in, man.
January.
Yeah, January.
Good month to go to the Hall of Fame. Yeah, that's what I want to do. Can you name three guys in the Baseball Hall of Fame?
Probably not.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Go ahead.
Come on, just think about it.
All-time great baseball player.
Yeah. Oh, Derek Jeter.
That's one.
Well, just time out for a second, buddy. I said all the people that have ever played baseball.
Yes.
All-time great baseball players.
Yes.
And my boy opens with Derek Jeter.
True Yankee, son of a Yankee
That's
fan.
That's called parenting right there, man.
Hold on. How about Jackie Robinson?
Jackie Robinson. Two for two, kid.
Babe Ruth. There we go. That's three.
Wait, can you do more? You're on fire.
Probably not.
I would stop where you're ahead.
Fair enough.
You just knocked out three of the greatest of all
time. Wait, is the guy from Field of Dreams in the Hall of Fame?
No.
What's his name?
No.
Shoeless. Yeah, Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Wow, he's not, unfortunately. And quite frankly, on the car ride up, I'm going to explain to you why that's a disgrace.
Did you like
that he should be in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, great movie. If you build it, he will come.
Do you think the end sucked?
Yeah, with like the car thing with the lights. Like, what type of ending is that?
He doesn't know that he's having a catch with his dad.
Exactly.
That's why he was so stupid.
Don't coach him into disliking the end of the movie.
Don't you agree?
Yeah.
No.
He's just having a catch with some guy
who
walked out of the field.
When you ask him,
you know it's his father.
He calls him dad.
No, he didn't.
Yes,
no,
he does.
He does.
But
he
says, dad, you want to have a catch. No idea that's his son.
That's your argument. He doesn't know it's his son.
Yeah, yes. He knows it's his dad. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but Anthony
said. The player doesn't know that's his son.
Anthony said the end of the movie was the lights with the cars.
Come on, the cars.
That's the very last.
Hold on. The cars are like building up to the stadium.
Yeah.
And if only a certain amount of people can see it.
Right.
And it really doesn't exist. It doesn't add up.
That's a better point than your dad's point.
There shouldn't be cars and lights coming out to see the fake baseball players.
In fact, they're
going to
save the farm because
they're going to come watch the games.
They all want to come watch the game.
So here's what happened.
Save the farm.
So Moonlight Graham saving his daughter unlocked the potential for everyone to see the players.
Once Moonlight Graham, and remember this scene, go back and watch it. Once Moonlight Graham comes off the field and becomes the old doctor, all of a sudden everyone can see the players. That's why the old redhead uncle's like, where'd all these guys come from? It unlocked the magic.
Don't sell the farm, Ray. Definitely don't sell the farm.
Don't sell the farm, remember?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Sure. We're here for you, pal. By the way, 1 to 10, what do you give Field of Dreams?
I'm going to give it a 4.
Good job.
It's really not that good of a movie. It doesn't add up. It's just like it's like watching a Disney movie. It's like magical.
Now you're knocking Disney movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, we went to an Italian restaurant, right? Anthony loves linguine and clams.
Love it.
Right? So it's delicious. Yeah. So the owner comes over. I'm not going to say the name of the restaurant for an obvious reason there, okay? And I go, Anthony, the guy, very nice, so gracious. Yeah. The owner goes, hey, how'd you like the linguine and clams? I go, Anthony, why don't you give him a rate?
See,
you know, 1 to 10.
I was being honest. I said a 7.2.
So Anthony goes, well, the pasta's cooked perfectly. The clams are good.
Sauce doesn't soak into the pasta.
But you didn't cook the sauce enough.
It's sitting on the floor. It's not like just like it's like when you put basil on something. It's there to be there. It's not there for anything else. Just there to be there.
Craig, you realize he's you? Like that's exactly what you would do.
Basil's there to be there.
I mean, on a pizza. Is anyone eating the basil on the pizza?
Some people do, yeah.
Fresh basil, sure.
I mean, it's a leaf, but some people eat it, yeah.
Yeah, that's the whole point. You're literally eating a leaf.
Yes, we like it.
Did you expect him to give it a 10?
I thought because you're in someone else's restaurant.
No!
And it was very good that my son would have understood in this setting. Anything over a 9 is what you give the guy.
Oh, so you've been okay with like a 9.0?
He was like a 9.3. I'm like, okay. He looks the owner in the eye and goes, 7.
Yeah.
And we're like, you knucklehead, you can't give him a 7. So the owner comes back and goes, we're going to try really hard to make it better. And then Anthony was embarrassed. He's like, I'll give it a 9.4. He goes, no, you gave it a 7.
Have you gone back since?
No. We will, though.
Will you grade it again fairly, or will you just be nice and give him a 10?
Now, at this point, I'm going to grade it fairly.
Damn right.
No, but you can't grade that places again. That's over with. Yeah. You could grade it at another place. You can't go back to a place you gave a 7.
So they have to live with the grade?
That's it? They got to live with the 7.
You don't get a retest?
I don't think so.
Wow.
No, because then they're going to think he's being fugazi. You know? That's all.
I think you did the right thing, man.
Yeah.
Did I? Boy, I tell you what. This is why I make him raise his hand to talk.
Really?
And you have no restrictions whatsoever on this show. You want to sing a song later?
Yeah, in a minute. But I have a question for Evan.
Oh, jeez. What's up?
Have you ever gone golfing? Are you a good golfer?
Okay, so have I gone golfing?
Yes.
Are you asking me mini golfing or regular golfing?
No, just regular golfing.
I've gone golfing. I'm not very good at it now.
Okay, we went to a restaurant, and there happens to be golfing simulators.
Okay.
So I get, 3 shots to hit the ball. So I have this whole build-up, and I miss the ball. It's on a tee, and I miss the ball.
No shame.
Yes. The second time, I go to do it again, and I hit it. And it goes, into the corner, and it's a simulator, so on the screen, it goes into the forest. On my last shot, I don't even hit it. I hit the tee, and it doesn't even, move.
Never understand. Yeah.
Wow.
And they're like, you've had enough, kid.
Yeah.
And then they gave him a DUI test.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.